We're going to put up our verse now, two verses that we're going to consider this morning, and I'm going to get you to read them with me. So if we can put those up, thank you, Ryan. How good are we at reading? I often get congregations to do this, and some of the churches around are pretty good at reading together, so don't let my own church down, will you? All right? Come on. One, two. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel. Well done. And don't forget that verse, will you? Pray when you feel like it. When you just got a few moments. Is that what it said? Pray at all times. So let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we realize that as we come to speak about your word, that we can't make it speak, but you can. And so we pray that this morning all of us will hear you speaking to us, so that we will have a burning desire to speak to you. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been learning that as Christians, we are involved in a real war, which will contain many battles. And at the end of each battle, and indeed at the end of the war, God's plan and desire is that we are standing firm. And we've learned that he has given us advice, and he's also given us weapons to win the battle. Because we've got a mighty commander. He's already obtained the victory, but he wants us to be victorious Christian people. Now, when you're fighting a battle, and I didn't do any compulsory military training, except when I was at school, we had to do compulsory military training for the first week of each year. And I can remember three things that we were taught. And they're going to come up now. The first one was this. We need to know our enemy. In warfare, you need to know who the enemy is. And in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, listen to this and remind ourselves, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. In other words, the enemy is in the non-physical world. You cannot see him, but you can see what he does. There are millions of unseen evil spirits in this unseen world, and their leader, according to the Bible, is Satan himself. Know your enemy. Secondly, you need to know the strategies of the enemy. And according to Ephesians 6, verse 11, we've learned that this enemy has strategies. It can be translated that he has wiles. He's cunning. He's got trickery. He's got real skills in fighting this war. I don't know how many of you have read Screwtape Letters, a book by C.S. Lewis. I recommend that you should read that because it's a wonderful commentary on how our enemy tries to put us down. And I just got the book out of the library when we started this series, and I thought I must read that book again. And here's some of the strategies that the Bible teaches us that our enemy uses. Number one, especially for people in the Western world, is complacency. Oh, just let them go to church. Just let them feel that they're all right and they're on their way to heaven. Don't get them too excited about their Christianity. Complacency. That we're doing okay. That we're on the road to heaven. So we don't need to be too concerned about how we live or what we do. You see, in C.S. Lewis's book, it's a series of letters of a young evil spirit from his uncle, who is a very experienced evil spirit. And one of the things that comes out time and time again, just let the Christian sit on their seats and really do nothing. Let them come together now and again. Don't get them too excited about reading the Bible or saying prayers. Just let them be complacent. Other strategies he uses was pleasure. Sometimes attack them with sickness. Sometimes attack them with doubt. Sometimes attack them with sexual temptation, and so it goes on. Now, not all that goes wrong in our lives is due to evil spirits or Satan attacking us, because sometimes it can be our own fault and our own fleshly ways. But many, many times it is evil spirits. And it is the devil attacking us to cause us to fall over. Listen to what 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says about the strategy of the enemy. Stay alert. Watch out. For your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Man, we need to pray for one another, don't we? My enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking that he might devour me. And I need to look at you all too. Pray like anything for you. Now listen to 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's not always this person with horns and a pitchfork and putting it into you. He's more cunning than that. Sometimes he will make sure that we're having life as an easy life. Everything's going all right, so that it can cause us to forget all about our dependence on God. So watch out. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And his great ambition is to knock us down, to keep us thinking, oh, he's not really a threat, and to keep us away from developing our life in Christ. And so we've learned from about the last 6 weeks or 7 weeks that God has given us strategies. He's given us weapons called armor. and we need to put it on. Do you remember how many pieces of armor there are? Anybody tell me? Have a guess. Come on. Somebody says six. Who said that? John, down there. Anybody? Is he right or wrong? Yeah, he is right, actually. There are six pieces of armor that we need to put on. Very quickly, let me remind you of them. First of all, the belt of truth. Know the truth and always practice it. The breastplate of righteousness. Do the right thing. That righteousness that has been imparted to us by Christ. Present your members, the members of your body, as an instrument of righteousness to God. Put on some shoes. Do you remember what the shoes were? The footwear of peace that comes from the gospel. Always being ready to proclaim, to give an answer. As the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you want to have beautiful feet? Do you? Sometimes we spend quite a bit of time on our feet, don't we? Paint them up, cut the toenails and so on. We have a lovely pair of shoes. But if we want to have good feet in the spiritual realm, we need to be people who are ready to present the gospel when we have opportunity. Then there was the shield of faith, an attitude of taking God at his word. Then you will be able to stop the fiery darts of the devil. Take God at his word. Put on salvation as your helmet. Satan, we learn, loves to attack our thought life. Protect your head by continually reminding yourself that God has promised that you are saved and know that your salvation will be perfected in the end. If you keep thinking like that, God has said, because of your faith in me, I have saved you and I will carry that salvation right to the day when you stand before me on my glorious throne. And then there was, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Read it, meditate, memorize, and put it into practice. And the sword is the weapon that should be used for both defense and attack. This book is our sword. It will protect us and it will give us ammunition to attack when we need to. And so with all that, in verse 18, the Holy Spirit adds, pray at all times. Not because it's another weapon, but because it is to pervade all our spiritual warfare. You see, it seems to me that the scripture is saying we can put on all this armor, but if we do not do so without prayer, it won't work as it should. You know, prayer, as I've studied for this morning, I think is totally underestimated as to its power. And church, I just want to say this, because I'm really convicted about this, that one of our weaknesses, and one of my weaknesses, is that we are underestimating the power of prayer. if there's a prayer meeting corporately, I would reckon that in all the churches I've been in, it's the worst attended meeting of all. And I've asked a lot of people, why is it? And I ask myself, why is it? Because so often we say, it's the most important thing. It's the powerhouse. It's the war room. You will forgive me, won't you? But I'll say it again. Why are we like it? I'd love to know. And I'm just as bad as anybody else on this. I'll tend to go to a prayer meeting if I have nothing else to do. It shouldn't be like that, should it? Pray at all times. What is prayer? Prayer is communicating with God. It is our greatest expression of our dependence on God. It is the means by which our relationship with God is maintained. It is the link between the believer and God. It is speaking to Him orally or silently. Because you see, we can pray in our thoughts, can we not? The great man of God, R.A. Torrey, wrote these words. Because you see, he was a great man of God, but he said at many stages in his life, he really struggled with prayer. And he wrote this in his book. I realize what real prayer is. Prayer is having an audience with God. Prayer is having an audience with God. You know, if I got invited to go to Buckingham Palace in London and have an audience with the Queen, yeah, I'd even be dressed up better than this. I'd put my best suit on, it doesn't get taken out very often. And I bet most of you would too, eh? And you'd be there on time. Man, you would. But how far greater to have an audience with a living God. And He's provided the way. And so often Richard Prynne doesn't bother to spend time with other people having an audience with him, nor does he spend too much time having an audience with the God of heaven when he's all alone. I'm actually coming into his presence. And R.A. Torrey says, before that, prayer had sometimes been an irksome duty. But from that time on, prayer has been a privilege. One of the most highly esteemed privileges of life. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit will really talk to me about this. And that He will talk to you about it. One of the greatest privileges of life is to spend time in the presence of Almighty God. And our verse this morning says that when we pray, we are to pray in the Spirit. Jude verse 20 says the same, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means pray in dependence on the Spirit, in communion with the Spirit of God. You see, it doesn't matter too much about the words that we use when we pray, silently or audibly, because we have God, the Holy Spirit, to help us. And listen to Romans 8, verse 20. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. One of the things that used to bother me very much as I went to prayer was, what sort of words should I say to God? And then I found this precious verse in Romans 8, verse 20. The Holy Spirit will take my words, my language, whatever it be, and if they're from my heart, He will present it in the right way before the throne of God. And God will hear, God will understand, and God will answer in the best way possible. Well, my friends, sometimes I feel I pray words that aren't very good. They don't seem to express what I want to express to God, but that does not matter. For the Holy Spirit will take those words and He will present them to the throne of God above. It was interesting when I looked at this verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. There were four alls that the Bible translators of the English Standard Version have used. And it's the little word all. First of all, and I think they should come up on the next, how to pray, independence of the Holy Spirit. The next one, we are to pray at all times. That means regularly and constantly. And Jesus Himself said people ought always to pray. Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer. They tell me that those few words, devote yourself to prayer, is the scene of a battle. It's hard work. You've got to fight. The ministry of prayer is not easy or casual. It's work. It's a wrestle. A price to be paid. It means diligence and self-denial. God in His Word this morning is asking us to devote ourselves to prayer. And then it's all prayer and supplication. Prayer is adoring God in this verse. We'll talk about that for a few seconds just later on. Thanking Him and then making supplication. What does that mean? It means asking for help and forgiveness. And then it's with all perseverance. This is a military term. It's be like a good soldier. Don't give up. And when you pray, and man, I battle this sometimes when I'm by myself, don't fall asleep. I think that's one of the strategies of the devil. Get that man to go to sleep. And making supplication for all the saints and for me. You know, we need to pray for one another. I'll come back to that soon. And you need to pray for me too. I want to thank the people who went to the prayer room this morning and upheld me before the Lord in prayer. Thank you so much for taking the time and asking God to help Jason and Lillian. Thank you so much. That we'll say the right word, that we will open our mouths boldly. So I would like to give you just very briefly some practical suggestions that we might put into practice. Corporate prayer. We have a number of prayer times here in this church. And if you're like me, you can forget that every second Tuesday, if you can come, is a time of prayer. So my dear wife does this. She puts it in her phone diary. And that morning you get beep, 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 beep. And what's that about? Oh, a prayer day. Now, we're not perfect. I'm just giving you some ideas. And the other one is Friday morning, 6:30 to about 8 o'clock. And it's, you don't have to stay there the whole time. Some of you can't because you've got to go to work. But I'm interested that one or two of you do come. And at a certain time, because you've got to go to work, you go, but you're there. Now, I'm not wanting to make this legalistic or anything like that. But put it in your diary, because it's important. Then, the need to pray for each other. Because this is really important too. One of the things we were given just a few weeks ago, and thank you, Heather, for doing this good work, the Church on Vogel Prayer and Contact Diary. I think most of you got one of those, did you? Did you notice it's got prayer directory? Huh? Are you using it like that? Come on, you tell God about this. My dear wife, she puts all the day numbers. It's got a place, I see. And today, I'll tell you who we prayed for anyway. Now, I don't want you to think that we're perfect in this. We are certainly not. But it's quite good, isn't it? Because if we look at the directions at the front, everybody in this church will get prayed for by somebody every day. I'll just tell you who we prayed for today. Robert and Jeanette Park. Did you know we prayed for you today? Jamie and Rebecca and little John, they got prayed for today. Gavin and Jess, you got prayed for today too. And Doug and Irene. I saw Doug down there, yeah. You got prayed for. Hey, listen. Pull this out again if you're not doing that. I know many of you are. But we need to pray for each other. And the other thing I noticed as I came in, do you want to pray for some missionaries? There's the Global Connections Daily Prayer Guide sitting out there. There's quite a number left. Take one of those, and it's got days in it, and pray for those missionaries that are listed, because, man, they're up against it in spiritual warfare. They need your prayers. Take one and use it and pray for people. Suggest to you that you use the, when you pray, use the ACTS formula, A-C-T-S. Can you say that with me? A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. When you pray, tell God how great he is, because he is great, isn't he? Have a look at the little bird that's out there. Marvellously made, and say, Lord, you make things so wonderfully well. I see that little bird there. It knows how to get its food. I see the tree there waving in the wind. Marvellous how it stands up. You made that. And Lord, I've been looking up at the sky. And there's millions of stars there. And you've told me that you know every one of them by name. None of them are lost. We read that this morning. Lord, you're so great and so wonderful. Do you tell God that? Tell God how great he is. C stands for confession. Oh Lord, there's many times when I fail you. Search your heart and say to God, God, I repent of what I said or what I did. We need to keep clean slates with God. T stands for thanksgiving. Man, we have got a lot to thank God for, have we not? Every time we sit down to a meal, do we thank God for his provision? You know, one of the things Christians can do, even when we go to a restaurant or a cafe, before we partake, just bow our heads and say thank you to God. You know, the Muslim people, they pray in public and let everybody see them. For some reason, I'm a bit nervous about it. But let's tell the world we're thankful to God. T and then S. Tell God your needs, your problems. He wants to hear about them. And he can do marvelous things because he is God Almighty. So let us put on all the armor of God, all those things he has given us, and let us be people who fight the fight pervaded by prayer. Pray at all times. I finished this morning with two quotes from a book on prayer by E.M. Bounds. And one of them is there on a screen. Do you see what it says? More is accomplished through prayer than this world ever dreams of. People say to me, I can't do much for the Lord. You can pray. And it's true what Ian Bound says. I know it's not he's not the scripture, but what he says is in the scripture, more is accomplished through prayer than this world ever dreams of. And finally, the more praying there is, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil. We are in a battle, brothers and sisters, and it'll always be a battle till we get to heaven. God has given us the armor, and he expects us to put it on and to pervade it all with prayer. Oh, that we would see God working in his might and power. Because not only do we say we are dependent on God, we act as though everything depends on him. Oh, may God just plant that in my heart and in your heart. We will be known as people of prayer. Lord, just take away anything that's been of human reasoning this morning. And may the words that we remember be words from you. And may we have the ability, the tenacity to put them into practice. Oh God, cause us to be people of prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.